We thank you for your presence, Lord, as we go through your word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you minister to us and that we will hear what you say to us this morning. We thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Such a privilege to share this word with you this morning. I think as I were preparing, Philippians 3 has been such a blessing, and I titled it All In because that is in essence what I sort of feel the overarching theme of chapter 3 is. And, you know, if we look at chapter 3, Paul in verse 14 says this, let me just read it to you quickly. He says this, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And he's sort of painting this picture, and he uses this in later books as well, where he's saying, listen, even like an athlete, I'm pressing towards the goal. Now, I don't know about you, just by the way, verse 10 of chapter 3 was our camp theme last year, where he says, listen, my determined purpose is to know Christ. And, you know, he's clearly got this focus. And I don't know if you've ever in your life had this goal, this thing that you were working for or towards. But I remember when, you know, doing my apprenticeship, it's a 3 years apprenticeship to become a plumber. And I remember at the end of that 3 years, you know, you have to go to Olifantsfontein to do your trade test, practical exam to understand, you check obviously that you understand what you're doing. And I remember in the months leading up to that, how my gentlemen and those that were around me gave me certain tasks, you know, help me to focus, help me to train, help me to get to this goal, which I had. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a goal, which sort of became, dare I say, consuming. In that, you know, this is the focus. This is what I want to get to. This is the very thing that I want to achieve. You know, many of you have sat through in a university. Okay, maybe that's a bad example because most students are quite chill. Except in the final year, maybe. But you had this goal because you want to reach something in your life. And I remember even that trade test, driving that morning to Olifantsfontein, I was nervous. I was, am I going to make it? And I think if I remember correctly, it's a 2 or 3 day test, practical stuff that you might have to make and so on. Very tense. And obviously you go in there and you give your best. And obviously the best news was when you got the feedback that you passed. That was amazing. Such a relief knowing that now I'm a qualified plumber. I'm no more longer the apprentice in the shop, but I am a qualified plumber. And I can do what I need to do now. And for me, in a sense, it's like Paul is saying, listen, this is what I'm stretching out to. This is what I'm reaching for. This is the goal that I want to achieve. So it was obviously clearly focused. And I think for me, in preparing and reading through Philippians, and even if you read Paul's other letters, what I really appreciate about this man is his absolute focus on Jesus Christ. I'll be honest, I am so challenged by how Paul expresses himself in the scripture, how he is so single-minded for Christ. And we're gonna look at this now, but the main thought for me that Paul brings through in Philippians 3 is this, which he says in verse 3, he says, to have no confidence in the flesh. You know, it's like he's saying, listen, I know who I am, I know what I've achieved, but I'm putting no confidence in this flesh because I'm leaning towards Christ. And it's interesting, I just quickly counted, but it's like of the 21 verses, he's spending 10 of those explaining why he's saying this, explaining this fire that's burning in his soul, explaining the fact that he's not putting any trust or confidence in his flesh. And I'll be honest, that challenges me so because, you know, in a world that is so focused and on what we achieve and what we do and those things, we can so easily fall back and lean upon what we are able to do. The reality is this, you know, for me to do plumbing work, you know, you don't almost think, sort of just who you are. And to make money in that way is fairly easy. Okay, business is not, it's no joke sometimes. But It is amazing how easy that is. And he's just going like, whoa, you know, there's spending 10 verses saying, I'm not trusting in my flesh anymore. So, and he gives good reasons and explains these things for us through this chapter. And now he comes to, you know, if you look at the previous chapters, he's making this now actually a bit personal. He's getting to a personal side of his writings here. And you know, it's like he said a few things to us, and now he's going, but this is how it's impacted my life. And then later he also says, follow it, my example. Oh, and if you read his writings, then I go like, wow, this is a man whose example I want to follow in Christ, challenging me deeply. And we know that life can become about so many things. And here Paul says, listen, can I challenge you to think differently on this? So the if he starts off chapter 3, he sort of narrows the focus here. But then he also gives it a warning, and this is verse 3, of chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. He says this, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you is indeed not grievous to me, but for you it is safe. Now, I must just say the word rejoice, I think it's over 6 times that it appears in Philippians. And it's sort of a theme that is writing to them, saying, listen, I need you to rejoice. And in verse 2, he says this, beware of dogs. Now, he's not talking about, the pets that's running about. He's using them as an example. He said, but beware of evil workers. Beware of the concession party. Now, if we have to just look at those two scriptures, verse 1 basically says, listen, rejoice in the Lord. Now, the meaning of rejoice is to feel or show great joy or delight. Now, wow, if we make this practical, if we take what Paul is saying here, you know, rejoice in the Lord, how does it change my life? My response even to this isolation, to this COVID-19, you know, and Paul is saying, listen, I need you to focus. I need you to take your eyes off everything, and I need you to rejoice in the Lord, to have great joy and delight in God. That is what he's saying. He's saying, listen, don't look to anything else. Look to God. The reason for your joy is God. They're sort of going, listen, I know there's a lot going on. And just think of this. I want to remind you that he's writing this from prison, from a jail cell, writing to his people. You know, sometimes it's rare that you find people that are in the hardest of situations, and yet they can encourage others. And this is amazing to see how Paul, in the situation where he's in, and the terribleness of his reality, he goes, man, can I encourage you to rejoice in God? Wow. I mean, that to me is just, you know, so it almost, for me, takes my excuse away for any situation not to rejoice in God. He's going, listen, people, I need you to focus. I need you to rejoice in the Lord. And he repeats this in chapter 4, the scripture that we all quote so often, and he repeats it there. So he's saying, listen, the reason for your joy is God. I need you to rejoice in it. Now, just being a practical person, you know, if I look at rejoice, obviously for me, it's like filling a petrol tank. You know, it's like getting to the, I'm refilling. And to me, it's like rejoice, refill yourself daily. Refill yourself moment by moment. Just refill yourself with joy every moment of the day. Just take away your eyes from what you're seeing. Just lift your eyes to God and say, God, but you are amazing. You are powerful. And I rejoice in you because you are the God of my salvation. So, such a powerful, and I tell you, if we start worshiping God, even in our circumstances, I'm sure we will move the hand of God on our wealth. He will just start doing stuff because, I mean, when we start worshiping God, start tapping his feet. When his feet start tapping, that stuff shifts and shakes and moves. So rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And then he continues, and obviously he gives us this warning speaking of the Judaizers, who were basically trying to take away the truth of the gospel and get people to focus again on you know, being circumcised and doing the law in order to receive salvation. And he's warning them against these people, these enemies of the gospel. And he's saying, beware of the dogs who come to steal and rob and just drag you away from the grace of God, the truth that you've just received. He's saying, beware of these. And I just believe, you know, even in our own lives, we need to be careful of the things that rob us of God's truth. Because there are many things that the enemy will send into your life and my life to distract us, to derail us, to take us away from the truth that God is giving to us. And we all know the example. If Satan can just derail your life with half a degree, you miss your destiny with the Lord. And he's saying, listen, beware of these dogs. Beware of them. Don't allow them to come near to you. You know, don't get into traditions and the works of men. Don't get into false teachings. Move away from them. The dog here is a person that is shameless, malicious, snarling, dissatisfied, and argumentative. That's sort of, if you look at that, the meaning of that word, that is what it's saying. Listen, I need you to stay away from these people. Now, I'm not saying don't engage the lost, but don't allow people, things, or circumstances to derail you from the truth. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. When you see these things, just rejoice in God. And in verse 3, Paul continues, he says this, for we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And now here he makes his statement, who have no confidence. And that is who we are. Sort of our identity that is communicating to us. Just listen, we have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other things that he has reason to trust in the flesh, I more. So Paul is saying, listen, you need to, you know, he says, we are of the circumcision. We are those who are now understand that it's not through just keeping outward laws and stuff. You know, the outward circumcision, the actual act of that is not what is truth anymore, but it's the fact that we have been circumcised in our heart. We have been set free. We now worship the Lord. That's who we are. We have no confidence in the flesh. You know, he's sort of renouncing and saying, listen, the flesh has got nothing to do with it. But we need to worship God in spirit. We are those who worship him. So, you know, and that is exactly what these dogs, these Judaizers wanted to do, is to drag them away from the truth of who God actually now has established. They are not those who keep the law to salvation anymore. They are saved by grace. They are saved by what Jesus has done. So it's not about keeping the law and the traditions of man anymore, but it's walking in this freedom which Christ has given them. See, the circumcision was just an outward ceremony. And Paul is saying, listen, that is Christianity. What you have received is not about that anymore. Right, so, and then in from verse 5 to 6, Paul then basically lists, can I call it a CV? And it's interesting, he says, you know, if you look at his CV, you see how amazing God actually was in his life, how God worked everything in him, you know, that in terms of being a Hebrew and a Jew, he's got the CV. I mean, it's like there's nothing that is wrong with his CV. And that's what he's saying. Then. He's saying, listen, I was circumcised on the eighth day according to the law. You know, so that was done. I didn't miss the law. Even my parents kept it, and I was circumcised. I'm of the stock of Israel. You know, in other words, he's saying, listen, I'm a direct descendant from Jacob. His lineage could have been traced back to Jacob. So, I mean, if you want to, you know, have someone that sort of comes from the beginning, that's him now. He says, I'm of the tribe of Judah and of Benjamin, sorry. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, was with Judah, the only two tribes that did not rebel with the other tribes. And he says, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. I enjoy all the advantages of being a Hebrew. In other words, I'm a direct descendant. My blood is pure. So, I mean, in terms of his context, he's saying, listen, there's nothing wrong with me. And then he says, I'm a Pharisee. You know, and they were known for rigidly adhering to the letter of the law. So even in keeping the law, and I just think, you know, if we think of what's it, Exodus 20, just the Ten Commandments, you know, and he's saying, listen, I'm keeping everything to the letter. If you think of everything that is written in the law and how he's saying, but listen, I'm keeping all those laws to the letter. Wow. No fault could be found in him. And then he says, zeal. For my zeal, I was persecuting the church. In other words, he was so passionate about that which he believed in that he was willing to take out anyone that was coming against his faith. He had the zeal to persecute the church, killed and imprisoned many, many Christians. And he was very zealous. And regarding the righteousness of by obeying the law, he says, blindness. So he lists his CV there and he says, listen, this is who I am. Don't look any further if you want someone that is doing this and keeping this law, but this is who I am. And then verse 7, he goes on and says, but whatever things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Now, he says, those things were gained to me. Now, obviously, you know, in his context, in his worldly life, these things were gained to him. It opened doors for him. The fact that his CV is so pure, it actually opened doors for him and allowed him to advance. And I'm sure he would have had in his goal probably to become the high priest or who knows what position he was sort of working towards. But he's saying, my CV was going to get me there. But I am not, you know, I count that all as loss. And then he sort of repeats himself. But no, rather, I also count all things to be lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. And he's saying, listen, everything I've learned, everything that I've received there, I'm counting all of that stuff lost because all I want to do is know Jesus. Now he's saying, listen, this is the focus of my life. And then he continues, he says, and I count them to be dung, says this portion of scripture. Rubbish, says other scriptures. How many of us will count everything that we've achieved to this day as dung or rubbish, you know, in achieving what God is wanting for us and have in store for us? And this is just such a powerful thought, how he's going, listen, man, everything that I've done, everything that I've achieved, it's worth nothing. All I want to do is know Jesus. And I'll be honest with you, this challenges me. This can I say, almost draws me out of my comfort zone in that, you know, so much of who I am is in what I've achieved. And it challenges me to think, but Corbis, to what level have I sort of laid down my life, if I can call it that, for Christ? Do I have the same desire that Paul is expressing here? And he's saying, listen, I count everything as nothing. All I want to do is know Christ. And then he continues to say, so that I may win Christ. I count all these things as dung. I want to just win Christ. I want to, it's rubbish, man. I just want to win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God by faith. So he's saying, listen, I no longer want to pursue this life of just doing stuff because, you know, it's expected of me or sort of the Christian thing to do. I'm not just going through the motions or the rituals. I'm actually wanting to do this because I have faith in Christ. I just want to know him. I'm so grateful for how he has saved me. And I cannot help to think, you know, on that road to the Damascus, it's clear the impact of that moment in his life. It's transformed his life completely. Sort of shifted all his priorities. And all he wanted to do is know Jesus through faith in Christ. You know, there's a, on Netflix, there's a series called AD, and they take a bit of, you know, artistic license there in expressing a few things, but, and I didn't like the Paul character initially, but the one thing that I did see sort of when Paul came into the scene is like this passion that he had for Christ and spreading the word. And he was almost getting impatient with Paul and other guys who were dragging their feet to get stuff done. And Paul is saying, listen, I need to do it. And here we see him sitting in a prison going, man, counting all his loss. I'm not putting any confidence in my flesh anymore. And for me, that challenges me to say, but, you know, how do I change my life going forward from here? Where am I going? Is this the same heart that I have? And I want definitely to live in that way before God. And then in verse 12, he goes on, he says, not as though I have already attained it. So it's like, man, this is my faith. This is my expectation. But no, I haven't achieved it completely. Oh, thank goodness. Whew. You know, Paul is still working at it. Means there's hope for me here. There's hope for me here. I've not attained it either. Let me read it again. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I am pressing on. I am pressing on if I may lay hold of that for which I also was taken hold of by Christ Jesus. My brothers, I do not count myself to have taken possession, but to one thing I do, forgetting the things behind and reaching forward to the things before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And this is a scripture that we start off. And now Paul is saying, listen, I'm not done yet. I'm not perfect yet. You know, and it's true for so many of us, including myself. We are not done yet. You know, if I look back at my life, I am so aware of what God has done up to this day. I'm so aware of the things that he's taken away, that the things that, you know, that how he's shaped and molded me to this moment, and I'm not done yet. And I want to press towards this goal. I want to press on, like he's saying here. I want to forget what was behind. It's like he's saying, man, don't get caught up with the stuff that is behind you. Just let it go. Press towards the mark. And the reality is, isn't it true that all of us are sort of dragging stuff behind us? You know, and these things are slowing us down and not allow us to pursue God in the way that we actually desire to do it. And he's saying, listen, just forget these things. Just forget those things that are press on towards this mark. It's again that picture of that athlete running. Now, I remember doing 1,500 meters now at school. 1,500 meters. Now, I think you can see I'm not built for jogging, built for power and breaking through stuff, but jogging is not my thing. In any case, I was a lot thinner and skinnier at that stage. So I decided I'm doing this 1,500 meters, and I started running. And it's quite embarrassing because I was so far behind at some point. And I was coming around the last bend. Now I'm tired. I mean, I feel like I've died three times already, and I'm sort of coming around the bend. And I look at there, the finish, you know, they're sort of packing up. They've forgotten about. And I looked at the story, and I thought, ah, never. You know, enough is enough. I just walked off. I was like, I'm not finishing this. And maybe some of you are feeling like this, that you you know, you've been going, you know, it's jumping, you're slogging it, you're not getting there, and you're tired, and you want to give up. And that is not what we need to do. You know, in hindsight, I was so stupid not to have finished that race. Even if I just walked to the finish and done it, it would have been better than just to walk off at that point. And I want to encourage you to, like Paul, to forget the things that are behind. Yes, you have failures. You have things that weren't successful. You know, maybe you feel that you've even disappointed God. Maybe, you know, you are not serving God in the way that Paul is expressing here. Maybe you are so challenged by this, but don't allow that to take you off the track. Don't walk off the track. Set your eye on the goal. Set your eye on the prize. Press in to what God has for you. And it's in that pressing, and it's that pressing through, that as you do that, that you will see that which Christ has in store for you. So don't walk off the track. I know it's hard, but don't walk off. And then in verse 15, he sort of continues this theme again about being of one mind. He says, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, in other words, those that have received Christ, be of this mind. So we all, again, be of the same mind. And if anything, you are otherwise minded. So he's saying, listen, if you are thinking that some other truth is the truth, then God shall reveal even this to you. And that is my prayer this morning, that, you know, if you are allowing the enemy to distract you, that God will reveal this to you, that he will speak to you this morning. Yet, as to what we have already attained, let us walk in the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Okay, so let us put our minds to the same thing. Let us not be distracted by these things, but let's keep the same mind as those that have served God, that are walking with God. And this is the thing. Please get those people around you that are of the same mind. You know, I'm so blessed being part of this church, because it is such an encouragement to see people with the same mind, the same heart. You know, it's not hard work to get people to share the gospel and to have a heart for people. Because in this congregation, it just comes so easily. It's amazing to see how people are so willing to help and assist and to share the gospel. And then verse 20 says this. And he reminds us, he says, our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we are looking for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, saints, listen, just remember that you are not a citizen of this earth. You are not a citizen that is here. You are a citizen of heaven, from where our Savior will come. And you know, the reality is we are still waiting for Jesus to return. And yes, you know, we all think he's closer than he's ever been. And I'm sure that is the truth. But you are a citizen of heaven. Now live from that place. Live from the place where Christ is sort of, you know, everything that is attained for you. Live from that place and express that love and that life here on earth. Put no trust in the flesh anymore. But rejoice in the Lord. Forget those things of the past and press on towards the goal. Do not look to the things of this earth. You know, there's so many things. You know, even the uncertainty of what we are facing here anymore. You know, I said to this boys this day, 52, and I think Jamal was on holiday just before this started. So he's been at home now for, I think, 66 days. So, and we don't know when we're getting out of here, you know. Sort of even that uncertainty can drive us to get, despondent at this time. And don't allow that to happen. So can I close off this service this morning? Like I said in the beginning, for me, if you look at what Paul is writing, the theme here is all in. All in. Now the thing is, and I'm not a gambler, but we sort of, you know, played, what's it, poker with matches and stuff. And when you say you are all in, you know, it's that moment where you take all your chips or cookies or matches or whatever, and you push it to the middle, you know, and it's like whatever happens now. You know, if this fails, you know, I will not win. And you must be very confident that you have the best cards when you do that. And the fact of the matter is, we have the best cards. I can put my life all in for Christ. All in. In other words, I've got nothing left. It's all in. So Paul, in chapter 3, encouraged us to do the following. He says, you know, God should be our consistent source of joy. That's where we should find all our true joy comes from God. And he says, be vigilant of those things that want to distract you from Christ. And I want to ask you to go sit still and evaluate the distractions in your life. What is distracting you from not pursuing God at the moment? So get rid of it, man. Deal with it like a dog that wants to bite you. I mean, if sure, you're not just going to run, but you will kick that thing. In any case, bad example. Place your trust in Christ, not in the flesh. Have no confidence in the flesh. You know, praise the Lord for all your qualifications, accolades, even what you've done up to this day. But place no trust. Remain with a full trust in what Christ has done. The fact that he's the one that saved you, the one that forgives your sin, the one that sets you free. We cannot do. The one that heals you, the one that lifts you up, the one that carries you, the one that takes you through the desert, the one that makes a way where there's no way. Trust in him and not in your flesh. Place no trust. You know, even in this uncertain time, I want to ask you to, rather than worry about where your income is going to come from, how, you know, where you work, etc., seek God's face. Rejoice in him. Maybe you're standing before that sort of, you know, desert and there's nothing. And even in that story in the Bible, God said to Moses, strike the rock and there came water. God can provide for you from the most likely sources. Just place your full and complete trust in him. And then Paul clearly shows that Christ is the only one to live for. Through his whole description there of his focus, he's saying, listen, this is the only one worth living for. This is the all-in moment. This is when you put everything in there. Then determine the goal of your life. And that is sort of the challenge for me. Through what Paul is saying is, what am I determining is the goal of my life? And that for each one now is something that we need to settle. Walk with those who are like-minded. Walk with those. And praise the Lord for this family, because that is really happening. And let's draw in those that want to walk in like this. Let them come into the family so that they can experience the blessing that God has given to us. Rejoice in your true citizenship. Saints, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. And we need to continually remind ourselves about that. It is the fact is that we are the sons and daughters of God. We have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. We have anointing, or God anoints us to do amazing things. And may we allow him to work through us at this time. May we even, like Paul today, you know, go and sit and consider and say, but Lord, I am all in. You know, maybe there's some of you that's been serving God, but you've sort of backed off and you've grown cold. You know, you've become weary. I want to encourage you to have an all-in moment this morning. Say, Lord, here's everything. I just give you everything. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your gospel. We thank you for Paul's life. Lord, he challenges us greatly through his writings here. And Lord, I pray that we will, each one, just consider what he's saying here. And Holy Spirit, that you will work deeply in our hearts. God, we choose to rejoice in you because it's from you that we have salvation. God, we want to say this morning, we are all in. We want to give everything to you. Lord, we thank you for your love, your unconditional love. And I pray as we meditate and we think and we mull over that which we have heard and received this morning. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are faithful to minister to us and to draw us close to you. Thank you for the work that you've done even to this day. May we go deeper to even prepare for what you have in store for us, Lord. So we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.